Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Red Sox Nation, it's a kind of a family. Wherever I roam, from Fenway home, that's where I long to be. I'm a member of a Red Sox Nation. It's a kind of insanity. Yeah, I live and die with Red Sox pride for eternity. I fake a smile November until opening day. Suffering baseball withdrawal around the clock. When April comes, hey, meet me down on Yawkey Way. That's when Red Sox Nation starts to rock. I'm a member of the Red Sox Nation.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Benny and the Bets podcast covering Boston Red Sox baseball. For everyone staying up late on Periscope, the podcast can be found after the conclusion of it on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Player FM. And it will be up on Stitcher probably within the next couple of days. So bear with us on that. Red Sox just wrapped up a three-game set to end the season against the New York Yankees. Yankees took two out of three. I am Terry Cushman, and from here forward, I will be joined by Jeremy Schilling and Billy Holohan, who will both be making their debuts tonight and on the early week show from here forward. So, Jeremy, welcome to the podcast, and why don't you kind of introduce yourself?
Sure, thanks, Terry. I grew up in Massachusetts in Centerville, lifelong Red Sox fan. That was ingrained from my father. My mother also a big baseball fan. So a big part of my life growing up was summers at Fenway, playing the game. I played in the Little East Conference for 4 years. Coached 1 year of college baseball, and then moved to Fort Lauderdale to pursue my career and go to grad school, which I ended up staying down here and got married to my college sweetheart. We have two kids. Hopefully they are both picking up the game from how much dad watches and cares about it and talks about it. And it's something I really look forward to talk about baseball on a weekly basis with you guys. And so for that, I thank you.
Yeah, and it's a pleasure to have you. Billy, you're up now, so why don't you get them acquainted with you?
I'm Billy, obviously. I'm 19. I'm from Rhode Island. I've lived in Rhode Island my whole life. I've been a Red Sox fan my whole life. My whole family's big Red Sox fans. Played baseball throughout high school. Now I go to URI, major in communications, and I'm excited to talk baseball.
All right. So it's kind of an interesting time to be joining the program because it's about to get real. We're going to kind of see what happens with this wild card, and then hopefully for the first time since 2013, advance beyond the ALDS. And I guess we'll get into the state of the team right now. it's been a bit of a turbulent month of September, to say the least. And even though the season ended on a good note today, and you had players perform pretty well today that we'd been hoping to see all along, but who knows? Who knows what's going to happen once the pressure finally turns up? Because we, the games aren't meaningless from here forward like they've been for the last, 7 to 10 days. So, Jeremy, why don't you start with your thoughts on the current state of the team and how you feel about it as we enter this week?
Terry, the analogy I use every year for that team that runs away with the division, and in the American League it basically happened with everybody, but the 90s Braves would win the division by September 15th or earlier, have 2 weeks of meaningless baseball games, and then walk into the playoffs and just always underachieve. So for my state of the team, I would say my biggest concern is that 90s Braves dilemma. And I know our second topic is Cora, but I thought Cora really handled these 2-3 weeks well with playing the main guys, having them play big innings, and not doing the rest and relaxation route. When Mookie went down with the oblique, I had some concerns that either just with him or as a cautionary tale, it was going to project on the rest of the team where they were going to go that route. He didn't. He DH'd him, I think, 3 days later, and then got him back in right field 2 days after that. So really happy with the way Cora handled the end of the year. The wins and losses don't matter in my mind, just because the way Cora handled the bullpen and the pitching staff and limiting innings and pitches, and the way they had to really deal with Sale to get him back stretched out where he can throw 100 pitches hopefully on Friday. So I'm optimistic. I'm really optimistic. I understand that there's significant historical information that says that key guys are going to struggle. But I like to think that Cora's personality has a trickle down on this team, and they're not going to ball up like they did under Farrell. With that said, it's, kind of watching with one eye and hoping that some of the trends will be bucked here and as we move into the ALDS.
Very good. Billy, what's your thoughts as we enter this week?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the team, most wins in baseball. But when you look at the roster, I don't think they have the most talent in baseball. They finished 8 games ahead of the Yankees. I don't think they're 8 games better than the Yankees. I think they're a better team than the Yankees, yes. I don't think they're 8 games better. And then there's the Astros. I don't think they're a better team at all than the Astros. Starting pitching-wise, no. Bullpen-wise, no. Lineup-wise, no. Our 1-4, maybe is better, probably not, but I just think the Astros are the best team. And when you're done with Bogarts in this lineup, in the Red Sox lineup, who scares an opposing pitcher?
Excellent point. Bradley's been hitting okay, but he's never really done it before in October. And, we don't know if it's going to be Nunez further down or Devers, but in our catchers, of course, not getting a lot of production there, with a baseball bat. So, yeah.
Billy, just to jump in there, I really like that point because October baseball, is so different. Martinez is not going to get 2-0 fastballs. He may not even get 2-0 strikes. Betts, they're going to pitch around. These guys that are raking in the regular season and getting pitches to hit won't in the postseason. You're going to see, I think, walk numbers go up for Martinez, for Mookie.
Exactly. And you look at Moreland in the second half, he's not driving anyone in.
Yeah, so I guess the key is if we're going to advance, and I don't think that's a foregone conclusion regardless of who we play, but if we're going to advance, and maybe this is something the three of us could talk about, just as a who's going to be the one or two guys that isn't traditionally the stud that's going to have to be so that we can get to the ALCS?
Yeah, I mean, in 04, Bill Miller had the big hit. Do you see a guy in the bottom of the lineup that's going to be able to get a big hit, but that's not a superstar? because I don't see anyone. I mean, obviously it's going to happen by surprise, but I don't see anyone that's capable of stepping up in a big moment.
Well, let me ask you guys this, and we kind of beat it to death ad nauseum in the earlier part of the season, and I'll start with you, Jeremy. How do you like Mookie hitting leadoff?
I don't. It doesn't make any sense to me to have a run producer like Mookie hitting leadoff. I mean, at the same time, he's done it. He's going to win an MVP doing it, so it's kind of silly to say, well, I mean, he should be hitting third or fifth or whatever to protect JD or vice versa. But, you know, the front four is good enough where they kind of all protect each other, and I don't necessarily have a problem with it. Again, obviously, he's been so successful there. It just seems silly to me to not have him hitting either before or after JD so that they can have that, you know, the same type of effect on the lineup that Ortiz and Manny had, you know, a decade ago. So, but that's just my opinion on it. Obviously, Cora knows more baseball than I do.
Well, the other thing that drives me nuts is what other team has two scrap heap guys like Moreland and Pierce platooning the four spot? That drives me nuts. And especially as Billy said, Moreland's only hitting, I think, coming into today, it was only 177 since the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, Billy, I think that's going to be a real big issue. As good as he is defensively, he's offered nothing offensively. He's not going to hit against any left-handed pitchers. I know we're going to talk about Dombrowski later. I personally think the Pierce move was actually one of the better things he's done as far as in-season player personnel decisions. I don't necessarily know that he's going to be a game changer, but in my short list of players that can potentially have an effect in October, not being in the top fives, someone that we look to, I've got Kinzer in that list. I've got Devers on that list. I do think that he's got the, especially at home, the ability to maybe win you a game.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how sound it's going to be, you know, for three rounds of playoffs. But and I hadn't had you on, so I was all first half of the season, I was just absolutely mortified that he just was keeping Mookie there. And I don't think Mookie even has 100 RBIs, and some people say, well, that's not as useful of a stat as it previously was because he's up there in runs scored and, you know, and then in a lot of other categories. But I prefer the more traditional, you know, setup with him hitting in the three spot.
I mean, I see the point for your leadoff hitter to get the most at-bats if he's your best hitter. He's their best hitter, so I understand why they're doing it. You want your best guy seeing the ball more than anyone else.
Well, I mean, if we had the Astros lineup who hits well 1-9, and even the Yankees for that matter, then to me, Mookie would be a lot better off in a leadoff spot for those teams. But as we were saying, I mean, is Leon or Vasquez going to be getting on base for Mookie to drive them in, or Moreland for that matter, or you know, Devers?
Leon stinks. Leon stinks. I can't stand that he's going to be on the roster. No, but Terry, who would you have hit leadoff if it's not Mookie?
Coming into the year, I really thought Bogaerts was the best option because, I mean, he had that slappy contact hitter style with that, you know, at least through the All-Star break, his OBP was, you know, well above 3.5. So, but now he's kind of transitioned into more of a power guy and, you know, maybe a traditional five-hole hitter, but I don't know. I mean, if it's not him,
I guess he's Benintendi leading off.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Benintendi did not hit a single home run in the month of September, and only two since the All-Star break. Not many people mention that, but he's another guy who's been a little short of power.
Yeah, and Jeremy, I want to bring back, you said Kinsler's on your short list of guys who you think can make an impact. honestly, is there a chance that Holt starts at second and maybe Devers at third? I mean, they've been the more productive guys this month.
Yeah, I like Devers at third, at least early in the game. I don't disagree with you, Billy. I just think that Cora is going to go with the guy, with the 36-year-old who's going to play good defense, especially if you're going to have Devers in the lineup as well. Holt makes the plays at him, doesn't give you much by way of, you know, defensive ability outside of basically his shoulders. Devers is such a liability. You can't have two key spots in the infield where the defense is lacking. So for that reason, I think they're going to go Devers at third. And then Kinsler, who he's not who he was, but you know what you're going to get out of him in October when you don't know what you're going to get out of Devers. I think that's really important with Kinsler. I really
do. Starts at third against lefties. Who do you have?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Probably Nunez.
I would say Holt. His splits are almost even.
I think with Holt, he's going to be the key utility guy. Like I told you guys off air, I have the 25-man roster roughed out here in front of me. I have Holt as the utility guy based on the specific situation in the game. I don't know using him early is beneficial to having the flexibility later on in the game. So, I don't disagree with you, and I think there's so many parts of this roster that are interchangeable, and I think a lot of it will depend on who gets hot and who gets the first few big hits, assuming they're coming. So, you know, Dever comes out and hits a big fly, you know, he's gonna go again the next day, right? So, and the same with Kinsler, and if Holt gets a start and goes 2-for-3 with 2 RBIs and a walk, he's going to be back in there. It's that type of year where you go with the guy that's getting the big hits. So I do think a lot of it is going to be based on almost an inning-by-inning basis. So not much for your prediction, Billy, but that's kind of how I see it. I mean, October baseball is based a lot more off-field than the regular season.
I agree wholeheartedly that Kinsler will be the everyday second baseman. But and I will say that Devers kind of won me over in the last week with the power. And he had a game where he had 6 RBIs. That was the ridiculous 19-2 game or whatever. But I'm not convinced that Cora is a Devers guy. I think he's a Nunez guy. And so I think Nunez might get a lot more starts than we anticipate right now. And we don't know anything right now, though. I mean, we know Chris Sale's going to start game 1, Price game 2, and Porcello game 3. And that's all the information they've given us on anything. And while we're discussing that right now, let's just say Devers is the starting third baseman. Let's just give him that for the moment. We'll give Moreland first base just for the hell of it, I guess. I mean, Pierce would probably get more playing time if it ends up being the Yankees, but we'll just say Moreland for a minute. So Devers and Moreland at third every day. So you have Holt, Nunez, Swihart, Pierce, Vasquez, and Leon. And so let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, and we can only keep 4.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy, I know you said Leon sucks. He's going to be on the roster regardless. The pitchers love throwing to him. But I don't see a point of carrying 3 catchers. And, I mean, Vasquez offensively gives you little or nothing, so I don't see why. I don't see him on the roster if I'm being – I don't see Vasquez making it.
Let me simplify this even more real quick. We know Holt's going to be on the roster. I mean, he just – as you guys said, he's been playing very well. His power numbers are up, and his splits are even on both sides of the plate. We know Pierce is going to be on the bench as well because, I mean, he's the only other first baseman we have, and he does play well against the Yankees. And as Billy just said – we know Leon will definitely be on the roster. So basically, you have only one to pick from here out. You got Vasquez, Nunez, or Swihart.
Yeah, I mean, if in that scenario, it's probably going to be Nunez, but is it for sure that he's not going to carry an extra bench player and not one pitcher, like one less pitcher?
So I read an article this afternoon that said last week that Cora said he was going to carry 11 pitchers. So I have them in my 25. I have them all on there. Yeah, I know Leon.
There's five guys off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I know Leon is going to be on the roster mainly for Sale, because Sale apparently is a big baby about who he throws to, despite how he projects an exterior toughness. Drives me absolutely nuts, if you guys can't tell. Swihart and Vasquez are both going to be on the roster. The problem, again, is with Devers being as poor defensively as he is, he eats up at a second position, because you're going to need a guy to come in. And you have to have the roster flexibility, knowing that Devers is not going to play third base in a one-run game in the ninth inning. So the three catchers give you some flexibility. Obviously, Nunez, Holt, they're going to be there. They're going to give you flexibility. And then, you know, the outfield's Benny, Betts, JD, and JBJ. So I think the infield is really well set. I think the catchers, it's going to be all three. I think where I don't, and I have it listed where I have the pen as I would have it. Don't like it, but I have it. And then I have some four bubble guys. So I think where there's going to be the question marks, and we're probably going to all be looking at the roster in the next couple of days when Cora announces it, will be in the bullpen. But I just don't see a way where, first of all, Swihart is too versatile, and you don't know what's going to happen game to game. You know, Swihart was playing right yesterday. Not that you want him there in a playoff game, but he just gives you way too much flexibility to not be on the roster. Leon's there because Sale's a baby about it. And Vasquez is really your best complete, you know, all, you know, offensively, defensively catcher, even though he's lacking offensively. So that's just the way I see it. And I don't hate it.
Well, we can't carry three catchers, though, you know, and I get what you're saying with Swihart. You know, you can play him, you know, you can catch him first base or corner outfield. But, I mean, if you go three catchers,
then you can pinch it twice in the catcher spot. That's the other thing. So Leon's going to hit in the whole, you know, in the second or third, and then in the fourth and the fifth, and then he won't hit again. And then you have the you know, if Moreland's starting, you have Pierce there. You have, if Devers not starting, you have Devers there. So you have the ability to have guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark in key at bats in the seventh, eighth, and ninth when that spot comes up in the lineup. And I, if we're being honest, Terry, I agree with you. I think, and I've thought this way the whole year, I just think carrying three catchers is a waste of a roster spot when I've already identified that you need another roster spot because of Devers. So I agree with you. I just, in my mind, I've resigned myself to the position that's the way they're going to do it. And I don't know if it's Cora. I don't know if it's Dombrowski, but that's the way they're going to do it. And you saw the way they handled the Swihart situation when they were talking about trading him, and his agent came out and said he wanted to go play every day. You know, they made a concerted effort to keep him in the organization and give him a role, and I think that is that's going to extend to the playoffs.
Well, on your roster, Jeremy, Devers doesn't make it then?
No, he's on there. He's starting. He's your starting third baseman.
So who doesn't make it in that scenario? Because you said you were carrying three catchers.
Yeah,
It
can't happen because, I mean, if you do, then at least one of Holt, Devers, and Nunez can't make it. Because then you
need Pierce. You need Pierce.
Yeah, you know.
So, guys, just to answer your question directly, and I'm not going to list off my 25 because that's just really bad radio. I have Workman off, Wright off, Velasquez off, and Brian Johnson off. I have a short pen. And that's where the pen, it's not going to be this revolving door. It's going to be your key guys and key roles that are determined probably internally. And they're going to have either Erod or Eovaldi in that long relief position. So there's going to be innings to be eaten by a guy who is a starter, who's extended to throw more innings. So playoff baseball, you don't need the six guys that throw a single innings, because you're going to have one or two guys on the roster that are going to be able to be capable of eating up multiple innings. And then in do or die games, you're going to see, like, if they're down 2-1 in the ALDS, Sale's going to come back. He's going to be available, and they're going to throw Sale on short rest before they throw Brazier or Hembree if he makes it. And I know that's a roster spot. So I think you're going to see a shorter bullpen, a smaller bullpen, And you're going to see the flexibility in the lineup because they're going to have to score runs with the bullpen problems to win games.
Well, you said you don't have Workman.
If it was me, I'd have Workman because I think the guy's got balls.
I think he's been reliable all year, and he's pitched in a World Series before. I think he has to make it.
Well, he's got
I hope I'm wrong.
He's got a 6.48 ERA in the month of September. Workman does, and I'm a little surprised you don't have Wright on there because in 13 innings pitched, he has a 0.66 ERA. And, I mean, I'll just run through them real quick. I mean, Kimbrel's got a 3.86. Robbie Scott, and this is in the month of September, Robbie Scott, a 4.15. Bobby Pointer, 4.63 ERA. Matt Barnes, 5.06 ERA. Brian Johnson, I don't think he'll be on there anyway, but he's got a 5.25 ERA. Heath Hembree, 5.68 ERA. Joe Kelly, 8.36 ERA. Pomeranz, 12.27 ERA. A lot of these guys aren't pitching well right now, and I think Wright has to be in there because we don't know how many innings you're going to get out of your 3-4 guys. And who is the fourth starter going to be? I'm assuming Eovaldi.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be Eovaldi.
Yeah,
against the Yankees it will be. Yeah, he's got a – it kind of surprised me. And five games in September, which look to be starts or maybe some of them were long relief, a 1.35 for Eovaldi. And that sounds extremely low, but
– Yeah, I mean, that six-inning start against the Yankees a couple weeks ago, I think that sealed it for him. He's a number – he's a game four starter.
Yeah.
And if it's the Yankees.
If it's the Yankees.
I mean, one of the things that I noticed today, and I was specifically looking at Coral's commentary over the last week about pitching and the playoff roster, is he used the term most likely when describing Porcello as the Game 3 starter. That was one. I mean, tell Porcello that he's the guy so he can go out and prepare for it. But it's... You know, you know that they don't necessarily, and his road splits are okay, but they're keeping it open. I personally would have Erod. And Terry, one of the things, you know, just so we're clear, there's what I think will happen, and there's how I would do it. And with all, you know, Red Sox decisions, those two are oftentimes very diverse because right. I would have Erod in the lineup. I think he has the ability to flash and dominate for five innings. So, you know, and there's been no talk of that unless I assume it's the Athletics, and then you may see Erod over Eovaldi. And then because Eovaldi can throw strikes and he throws hard, you can trust him in the bullpen to come in and at least pound the strike zone, whether he gets guys out or not, you know, is up for some debate. But I probably would have Wright on the team because he's – one, he seems to pitch with some chutzpah and a certain, like, I don't care, I'm just going to float the knuckleball out there and see what happens, which I like. So I would have him on the roster. I think Kelly stinks out loud. I wouldn't have Kelly on there. I have no trust in Hembree whatsoever. You know, so, you know, just so we're clear. Billy, I agree with you. I like Workman, if for nothing else other than the fact that he's pitched in playoff games in a Red Sox uniform prior to his arm injury. So I would also have Workman on there. You know, how it shakes out, who would be on and who wouldn't be on, I guess I have to take a minute to look at that. But, you know, I just think that Cora he's shown in the last 2 weeks where he slotted guys in and tried to get people certain looks that this is the way I think it's going to happen. I don't necessarily agree with it.
So do you have a lefty out of the pen? Like, not Eduardo Rodriguez?
Pointer.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I think Pointer makes it too. Just for like a one-inning guy or just a scenario guy for one lefty. I mean, against the Yankees, I guess you don't really need a lefty unless it's Brett Gardner or Aaron Hicks maybe. And against the Astros, you definitely don't need a lefty. But, yeah, I could see him as like a scenario lefty.
Well, no, you always need a lefty. And I know we're not quite on the Dombrowski topic yet, but I think it's a real indictment that the management team did not go get a power left-handed arm. I think it's an absolute joke. I think it's pathetic. It makes me kind of like irrationally mad at Dombrowski if Pointer's in the game trying to get out a power hitting left-handed bat in the eighth inning of a game. I mean, I can you like, is that really what it's come down to with a team that's as loaded as this, that we don't have a power left-handed pitcher? It's ridiculous. And I when I was building the roster and when I was roughing out the 25 in my notes, I'm just sitting there like, I looked through the roster three different times. I went from ESPN's roster to MLB's to BostonRedSox.com. Like, there's got to be another lefty in there that has the ability to take that role, and there isn't. And it's hard to believe in it. And like I said, I just can't imagine that they're allowing that to happen, but they have.
Is Zach Britton a lefty or no?
Yeah, he's a lefty.
Yeah, he's a lefty.
And Dombrowski was on record saying that they had the pieces to do it, but they just felt like they didn't need to. And then there was, it sounded like a tentative deal was preliminarily agreed to with the Nats for Kelvin Herrera, who I think is a righty though. But the reason why that didn't happen, according to Dombrowski, was there was a sudden change in philosophy. And a lot of people speculated that that was the Nationals, because they dangled Harper out there late on the evening of July 30th to see if any interest would be there, at least in terms of a deal that the Nationals thought would be suitable. And then nothing materialized there, so they pulled Harper back, probably pulled Herrera back, and so the Red Sox didn't make that trade. And then, like I said, a deal was, or Dombrowski did have the pieces, but he didn't think it was necessary. And my biggest fear throughout the month of July was we didn't play a single 500 team until the final series of the month, which was only a two-game set against the Phillies. And I was telling people, I'm like, I hope Dave Dombrowski doesn't assess this team's needs by July 30th just based on this month, because we're not going to be playing shitty teams after this. You know, the schedule is going to get tougher. And I didn't want to be sitting here at the end of September thinking, man, you know, we should have made a move and we fooled ourselves because we were beating these shitty teams and we thought we were better than we actually were. And that's exactly what's going on right now. And we're undergunned, and we know Kimbrel's going to be there in the ninth. I'm assuming Brazier will be the eighth inning guy. He has a 2.31 ERA and pitches very well if it's a clean inning. And then before that, like you guys said, I mean, we're just patchworking the rest of it. You know, I mean, we're hoping Kelly isn't on the roster. We're hoping maybe Hembree isn't, but you still have to slot Barnes in there, whether we like him or not. Maybe Workman, who knows. Pointer, I like Pointer. Robbie Scott was starting to pitch fairly well, so I don't know if that's going to win him any points, but, you know, he'll be considered to maybe be the lefty. And but as you were saying, Jeremy, this is something that Dombrowski is going to have to answer to. And Tyler Thornburg was shut down for the year. And
oh, good, because he sticks too.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason why in my mind Erod is not being discussed as one of the top four starters is because Dombrowski butchered the bullpen and didn't have the left-handed guy out there. So you're putting him, you forced yourself into taking one of your top four guys and not starting him because you have to have him in the bullpen. And you may, and the thing, the ironic thing about that is with any lefty one out guy or any left-handed pitcher, there may not necessarily be a need for him. So could you imagine if we're like in a situation where Erod doesn't start one of the first four games, but then he also really doesn't have, there is no need for the lefty guy. So you don't start him, even though he's definitely one of your top four guys, but then you don't, maybe he's not even pitching high leverage innings anyways, because the left-hander's coming out and low leverage situation, so you're not going to burn him there, and you don't even need it. Dombrowski has butchered this thing with the bullpen, and his mindset was, I'm just going to wait for these guys to pitch better, And then they never did. And Kelly went from the guy who, you know, got a standing ovation at the Celts game after getting in that fight with that meathead that's not a Yankee anymore.
Tyler Austin.
And then he stunk.
He's in a Twins organization.
I know. Yeah, and I know his name. I just wasn't. Okay. But Kelly stinks. You can't put him in a game. He doesn't throw strikes. All he does is throw fastballs. So if he does get one, if he does throw one middle, it's going to get crushed. And I mean, I don't even blame the staff. I don't. I blame Dombrowski for not going out and getting the guys that are going to be pitching in those spots. I mean, you're going to see it with the Athletics. The Athletics are built based on the Moneyball approach, and the Moneyball approach is great over 162 because water finds its level, and ultimately guys with on-base percentages are going to get on base. But what happens in the postseason is water doesn't necessarily find its level. Guys don't hit, even though, you know, over 162 they would. And so I personally think you're going to see whether they win on Tuesday or not. I think you see the Athletics flame out regardless of, you know, the pitching matchups or whatever else. I'm sure we're going to get into it. But with this bullpen, I don't know. It's a mess. I'm so frustrated by it.
Yeah, back to what you said about Joe Kelly. Like, I agree, he is terrible, but I still think he makes the roster. Just because of that one good month he had, I think Cora's going to put him on just in hopes that he can get hot.
Yeah, he's going to be on because he's a swing and miss guy, and you have to have a power arm. So, I mean, as crazy as it is, as likely as he is to walk in the run, who else would you choose in the seventh inning to, you know, one out, bases chock? Exactly. It's loud laughing. I'm dying inside at the same time, but I'm laughing. It's going to be Kelly because he has the ability to go belt high with 99 and get some guy out.
Yeah, he can get a ground ball, he can get a strikeout, but he can also throw a wild pitch. You know, there's no silver lining.
Well, Barnes is good in that role, though, usually, with inherited runners.
Barnes was hot in the first half, and then he cooled off.
Well, he had the hip thing, so it could be a matter of health as well. But I don't know. I mean, we're gonna have to face the fact that we're going to be uncomfortable with at least four of the guys in the bullpen. I mean, and that's just...
I'm uncomfortable with everyone in the bullpen.
Yeah. I like Kimbrel. I'm not comfortable with him, and when the pressure's on.
Yeah, I'm not even
comfortable
with Kimbrel. unless he has a three-run lead. If he has a one-run lead, he's giving up a run. If he has a two-run lead, he's going to give up a run, and then there's a chance of the long ball.
He's a raging head case.
So one of the things that I am optimistic about is the analogy of the closer outside of the ninth inning. And it was 2 years ago, Kimbrel outside of a save situation was like a 6 ERA, and then inside of a save situation, he was like a 1.8. We played 30 meaningless games or 26 meaningless games in September, and I understand that you want to see results, but like it or hate it or understand it or not, I'm of the mindset that you're not going to see the same level of competition or competitiveness when a month doesn't matter. And I know that's scary, but I do think you're going to see these guys come out with the games meaning something again and be different. And especially
after a month of not playing competitive baseball, you know, how are they going to adjust?
No, I agree. And that's why I started out this particular podcast with the analogy of the 90s Braves, because I think that's a real and present danger. I think you have a position where they can't turn it back on. Teams have been able to do it. Generally speaking, it's a problem historically. Let's not lose sight of the fact that Price stinks in the playoffs. Sale stinks in the playoffs. Porcello has stunk in the playoffs. There's not a lot of historical information that's going to suggest that, especially with regards to the pitching staff, that they're going to, you know, move into this October and all of a sudden dominate. So it's a problem. It's one of the reasons why I don't think they're going to win the World Series. And I think that they could get eliminated at any stage along the way. But I am hopeful that at least like a guy with Kimbrel, who's got electric stuff, seems to be healthy. There's no issue with his arm. There's no issue with his lower body. So the stuff's there. So I'm hopeful we get back into meeting games and he starts to be what he's capable of being.
Yeah, I mean, what you said, I don't want to be a little too premature, but just yes or no, do you think Kimbrell gets re-signed by Boston?
No.
Yeah, all right, me neither.
Yeah, no, there's other priorities, and his numbers are trending downward anyway. So
it's his last chance for a deal. So, and I don't blame him. I always said growing up that if I was an athlete, I would have been the guy who'd go up to the press conference and be like, "Yeah, it was about the money, dude. These people paid me $10 million more than the next team would. Of course, it's about the money, right?"
Yeah,
and I think Kimbrell's at this is his last deal. It's probably going to be a 3-year deal. It's probably going to be with a middling team that is looking to try to somehow get over the hump. And I just see, I don't see Boston giving that money because Bogart's coming off 100 RBI season. Got to sign him. You know, Mookie's an MVP. Got to sign him. You know, they're talking about reworking JD's deal so they can buy out the opt out years and give him some more money. To me, it's like, I know there's no answer. Because the rest of the bullpen stinks, so you can't promote from within. But I just see Kimbrell as being that casualty where that $10 to $15 million could go somewhere else.
I think he's going to get a 5-year deal. Really, I haven't looked at the free agent list.
And I hope it's the Yankees if that's the case, because that would be hilarious.
Well, I think it's going to be the Braves.
Yeah, I think he's going back to Atlanta.
Yeah, that would be my guess, but you never know. I mean,
free agency is going to be fun.
It is. It absolutely is. You know, with Harper, Machado, to see if that $400 million gets reached. I don't think it will, but let's just get into the Yankees and the A's right now. And, Jeremy, what's your preference? Like, who do you want to win that?
A's.
You want the A's?
A's. I'm the type of sports fan where I don't actually enjoy the games because I just take it. And I've gotten better over the years, and since I've had my kids, like, it means less than it did when I was in college and stuff. But these games are not enjoyable. They're stressful. When the season ends, it ruins like 2 or 3 days of my life. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's just the way it is. And I'm not like I want to beat the best to be the best. Like, I'd rather beat your dying, your wounded, your pathetic, your losers, and then win a World Series and be like, no one cares what teams you beat along the way 10 years from now. They care the fact that you won a championship. So give me the Athletics. Give me Cleveland with multiple injuries to the starting rotation. Like, let's go. Like, just win the rounds and move on. And to do that, in my mind, the Athletics are the team that – and I know we've had some problems with them. They no hit us, for Christ's sake. But I want the Athletics. I don't care. I would love to see the Yankees get blown out in that wild card game.
Yeah, and anything can happen in Yankee Stadium, too. Chris Davis could hit 4 home runs that are flyouts in any other stadium, you know, the other way. So, I mean, yeah. I think Oakland could blow out the Yankees in that game.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Chris Davis is going to get anything to hit, but, yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, and the other thing is, with that stadium, you could get a home run from a guy who, you know, otherwise wouldn't hit one. You know, and those games are so wonky.
Yeah, those games are crazy. I love the wild card game.
I'm the opposite of you guys, and here's why. We know the Yankees. We've gotten to Chapman. We've gotten to Robertson. We've gotten to Betances. You know, Britton, you know, he's obviously a top pitcher, but their rotation isn't great, and Severino is going to pitch game 2. Doesn't pitch very well in Fenway. We know them, and with the A's, there's just so many unknowns, and we're going to go to Oakland for at least a game or two. We never play well out there. They have a great bullpen, you know, between Kelly, Familia, and Trinan. That's a great 7, 8, 9. So, I mean, if we don't have a lead by the 7th, we're probably not getting one. And
well, Terry, you just made a great point that I did not think of, and maybe I'm going to change my opinion. The travel to Oakland, even if they advance, is a problem. That grinds on a team big time. So I don't necessarily hate it, but I just think that Yankees are the tougher out.
Plus, I agree with Terry about Aroldis Chapman. We're going to hit Chapman. Chapman stinks in the playoffs. Chapman, he's a great regular season closer, But you saw it in the World Series when he was on the Cubs. He stinks in the playoffs. He's going to choke, and he's definitely going to choke against the Red Sox. He doesn't scare me coming out of the pen.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, Oakland's not going to be afraid of us. You know, they're just...
They have nothing to lose.
They have nothing to lose, right. There's no pressure on them. They got a really good manager, Bob Melvin. And when you look at the Yankees, they don't know who they're starting yet. And it has to be Hap, in my mind. I mean, he's the only consistent guy they have, and they're being a little coy about it. And but they know they're going to catch Sanchez. And, you know, like, that's something you want to do in a go-or-go-home type game. And I just – that front office, I think they got some serious philosophical dilemmas going on behind the scenes right now. And I'm just not as afraid of them. Rick Porcello matches up very well against them. Sale, if he's – Evoldi does. Sale does all right against them if he's healthy. And David Price, I'm the biggest David Price hater there is, and ironically he's got the October jitters, you know, based on his last couple of starts. So I'm just going to assume that's a loss until he proves me wrong. But but I think our starting pitching staff overall matches okay against them, and we lost 4 out of 6 before Oakland had any chances to really make any upgrades, and they still beat us. And no, they do not have Manaea, who no hit us, but you also have to remember that one of our two wins came in a rematch against Manaea as well. So I think Mike Fiers is good enough to get to their bullpen. You know, he can probably play 2 or 3 run ball and then hand the bullpen a close game anyway. And Brett Anderson has had a bounce back year. Edwin Jackson as well. I don't know if Trevor Cahill is back or healthy, but, and then they have some decent situational guys like Mengden and Bassett. And it's just a team that's just going to be a pain in our ass. And I'm just not comfortable with them.
Yeah. And I agree. I would rather play the Yankees. I don't see a Yankee starter that slows down our lineup. I don't think any Yankee starter holds us less than 4 runs.
You could be right. You know how?
And if you get a good start from a guy, 4 runs is going to be all you need.
Well, I mean, then we have to worry about the 7th, 8th, and 9th. You know, out of our pen, like we were saying, it's going to be messy, and like Jeremy says, it's going to be stressful. You know, regardless, but
I don't see a sweep no matter who we play. I think it's going to 5 no matter who we play.
That'd be nice, and I keep telling myself, I'm like, I just want to have a 1-0 lead in the ALDS. I just want to experience that again, because it hasn't happened since 2013, and you know, and the weight of the world is on our shoulders like no other year previously. We won 108 games. If we get bounced here, we're going to be that team until we do win it.
So do you think it's World Series or bust?
It should be.
I think if we do get bounced by the Astros, I don't think that's going to cause an uproar as big of an uproar as if we get bounced by any other team.
Well, the Astros are the best team in baseball, regardless of what the records say. I think they ended at, 101 or 102? And they didn't really have a hangover either. You know, they were injured pretty bad. I mean, Correa missed, I think, a couple of months, and Altuve was at least a month, I think. And
Bregman's a stud.
Yeah, Bregman, I mean, he's going to be probably 4th or 5th in the MVP voting. Maybe even 3rd, actually. And their bullpen, it took him a little while to get that beefed up. But Ryan Pressly has been phenomenal. Probably one of the best 8-inning guys in the league And then Ozuna.
Yeah, and they have Ozuna, too.
Yeah, and we hit Ozuna fairly well, so that could be problematic in a matchup with us. But against anyone else, he's obviously a top closer. So I don't know. I mean, we got to get out of that first round. That's what I care about. If we don't, then this season's an epic failure. And if we lose to the defending champs in 5, 6, 7 games in the ALCS, then like you were saying, so be it. But you know, the window is closing for the Red Sox, whether we like it or not. And you know,
I think no matter who comes out of the AL wins the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, the Cubs, I thought were almost a surefire to go to the World Series, but they might end up playing the one-game wild card here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look at the Brewers, they got a nice lineup, one of the best bullpens, if not the best bullpen in the majors, but their starting pitching is a little shaky. I don't believe in Atlanta at all. Their bullpen isn't great, and their rotation is okay, but not great, and so I don't think they're going to the World Series. So who do you have left? You know, the Rockies or the Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, the Dodgers would scare me if the Red Sox would make in. They would play the Dodgers. But then you look at all those guys in the playoffs and Kershaw in the playoffs, and I'm not scared of the Dodgers.
Right. You still here, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm only showing one thing on my Skype, so.
No, I mean, I'm here. I getting back to the question about is it World Series or bust, you spend $200 million, it better be. I don't think they have some of the pressures that they've had in years past where, like, Farrell has to get to a certain point or he's fired because, obviously, Cora's going to be here. Dombrowski's not going anywhere. I don't think whether they get to a certain point or when the whole thing is going to have an effect on anything with Mookie or Bogey or you know, anything like that. So there's no exterior pressure to be like it's World Series or bust or, you know, like last year with Farrell. But you spent $200 million. You're the Boston Red Sox. There's 5 teams every year that say it's World Series or bust, and we're one of them. So frankly, I love it because it's, you know, we're there every year. But I don't think they're going to win the World Series. I think the bullpen, you know, I envision this season ending on like a going into the 6 or 7. Well, no, not even that. I see it being like it's like 6-3 and Sale comes out of the game and Cora makes the right decision and takes him out after 97 pitches and it is the right decision. And then they're up 3 going into the last 9 outs and they can't get him. And, you know, whether it's 1 or 2 or some accumulation of the issue, I just see that's how the season ending. And the offense, as good as it's again, I mentioned it earlier, they're going to pitch around. Like, J.D. Martinez is not getting 3-0 fastballs. They're gonna walk him. They're going to deal with Bogarts, and then they're going to say, look, no one in the back half of this lineup is going to beat us. So it's just get ready for a different type of baseball. And I know you guys know that, and I know our listeners are going to know that, but it's nice to be reminded that the game is so different in the playoffs. Every pitch matters. You're going to see teams using the mound visits differently. You're going to see bullpens being used differently. Madden 2 years ago with Chapman, you know, how often they used him. It's just stuff like that you would never see in a 162 season. So, you know, I do think they have, especially the front arm talent, if Price can be break that this playoff issue of Sale as himself. You get almost anything from Porcello or Eovaldi. You get Kimbrel to be Kimbrel, and you have a lead in the ninth. I think they can win, and I think they can win a World Series. I just don't think they will.
Yeah, I mean, it should be World Series or bust, but I mean, realistically, that Astros team is the best team, you know, regardless of what their payroll is. And also, though, if we get bounced in the first round again, I think it's 50-50 Dombrowski gets fired because the window's closing anyway. I mean, we only have Sale through next year if he can even give us, you know, six well, seven months of baseball if you count October. He's not a builder, so I just think, I don't think the plan was to even keep him longer than that anyway, you know, even a few years ago.
I think
no matter what happens, you can go.
I don't think Dombrowski goes unless he wants to go. They knew what they were getting with him, and he's done what he's done traditionally, which is blow up the farm system, get major league top end talent. He's done that, and I mean, unless you're going to say that the bullpen was so poorly managed that it's worth his job, fine. But I just don't see the Red Sox traditionally aren't that overreactive in under this regime. You know, and then with the Astros, just to hit on your second point, Terry, look, their lineup is you know, more of a linear, you know, line, whereas, you know, the Red Sox are better 1-4. They have two MVP candidates. Don't tell me that the Astros are better 1-4 because it's just not factually accurate, but they are better 1-9. But I think the great equalizer is Fenway Park. And I think the 108 win, the 108 wins matters for that reason, because all you got to do is win at Fenway at the end of the day. You know, you can lose three games in Houston, but if you win them in Fenway, and where we're traditionally better offensively and everything else, I don't necessarily say they're automatically better. Now, if the Astros had won the 108 and we're going to game one to Houston, yeah, that's, I think it's a different story. I do think they're a more even roster generally, but I think the 108 is important for that sole reason, and I like our chances in that series. Again, I just see at the end of the day the bullpen being the issue.
Well, they've been there and they've done that, though. And also, I mean, Verlander, Cole, Keuchel, Morton, that's better than our 1-4, you know, in the rotation.
And they're a defending champ. They know what it takes.
Yeah. But
how often do people repeat? I mean, you know, for every time you could tell me, look, they've been there before, they know it. It's like, okay, well, you know, and the Giants only won in even years for like half a decade. So I get it. And I don't know. I am a bettor, and I'll bet on the games, and I don't always just bet on the Red Sox. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the ALDS. But I don't just chalk it up to they're better and they're going to win. I mean, will they? You know, maybe. But I like the fact that we get the four games at Fenway.
No, yeah, I mean, definitely, like, obviously home field's a big point, but I don't think it's just because the Astros are a better team. I just think the Red Sox will beat themselves, whether it's a big error from Nunez or Devers, or like you said, the bullpen blows it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't have any confidence in David Price and Kimbrel.
I wouldn't if he didn't have that big bullpen appearance last year. So I'm holding on to a little bit of hope.
We'll see. I mean, he's going to start game two, which is at home, and he has pitched well at home basically all year. So,
Terry, does your analysis of the Oakland New York wild card game change if Price is pitching against the Yankees versus the Athletics? I mean, he's a puddle against the Yankees. He's an absolute abject failure, except for one start this year.
Well, his ERA in Yankee Stadium is in the double digits, and
I wouldn't pitch him at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, and that won't happen.
Well, he's not. He's pitching game two, but he hasn't.
Right.
Look, he had a Fortnite injury, and that game was at Fenway early this year, where he got rocked in the first inning and the whole video game.
And he quit that game. That's what that was.
Yeah, that was. Look, I'm sorry, but it's the softest injury in the history of sports, maybe humankind, to say that it was due to a repetitive injury by flicking a PlayStation 4 analog stick. It's ridiculous. And look, if we read, if Michael Hawley read a book about the Red Sox 10 years from now about this specific team, and I found out about that 10 years ago or 10 years from now, I'd be so much better than him coming out and admitting it. Like, show some toughness and just shut the up. And I don't know how we feel about swearing on the podcast.
You can swear. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Then David, shut the fuck up and just go out and pitch and get shelled like a man and be competitive. Like, it drives me nuts. And that's where, Billy, I like, I feel like he's never going to shed the playoff thing because it's so easy for him to just turtle and be and basically, for lack of a better term, just bitch out. And that Yankee start that was in Fenway Park, I remember how excited I was for that game. And he just quit on his teammates. And they all say how much they love him, but that's one of a handful of times that he's done it where he just quits on his team. And it just so happened to be under the most ridiculous excuse of all night that he had, you know, hand numbness from playing too much
Fortnite.
People
celebrated the August one where he finally got the win, but they didn't have Judge. They might not have had Torres either in that start. And then
that whole series, Terry, was all Red Sox all the way.
Right.
Like, it was still a big confidence boost for him, though. And baseball is 90% mental. The other half's physical, you know?
Well, Billy, but then he came out again in Yankee Stadium and got absolutely rocked again.
Well, I wouldn't. He's not good. He's not a Yankee Stadium pitcher. He throws the cutter going away. That ball's going to be put in the right field for a home run, regardless of who's up to bat.
Well, I think a lot of it is he's a mental midget and he sees the name on the front and he is different. And whether he overhypes it or for whatever reason he prepares differently for the Yankees or mentally he's different or whatever it is, I don't exactly know, but I don't know if it's a home road split thing. Like, it's baseball, there's so much statistics in baseball, and it's like you always want to go to the statistics, right? So all home road splits or day versus night. And I understand that has such a huge place in today's baseball, but like the eye test still is he puddles against the Yankees. I don't care what stadium it's in. They could play at the BC High.
And
he stinks against the Yankees.
His one start against the A's, he got into the seventh inning. I think we had the lead, and Chris Davis crushed one off of him, and we lost the game. So there's
in a playoff game, he's not getting that seventh inning, though.
Yep, fair.
He might not. Fair. Yeah, but we'll see. But that's definitely a lineup that can mash. And I was watching some of their recaps in the last couple of weeks. I mean, Piscotty, Canna, Simeon, their third baseman there, Chapman, is probably going to be a MVP candidate several times over. And that's a dangerous lineup. And early in September, I think it was the second week of September, I was looking at all the offenses from the top American League teams, and they were number one in the, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks since the All-Star break up till that point. So it's not a lineup that I want to deal with, but...
So let's say we get by the ALDS and Price throws an awesome start. Would you trust him in the ALCS, Jeremy?
You don't have a choice.
But, like, you personally, like, would you feel confident with him going?
No. No. I mean, you don't have a choice because he's your second best guy. And with Sale's shoulder stuff, he may be your best guy. He's probably the best guy to go on short rest because, again, he's healthy. And so you don't have a choice. I mean, at the end of the day, you get there, you got to go with what you got in the stable. But
obviously you don't have a choice. I just want, like, your personal preference. Like, would you be having a heart attack while he's up there?
Yeah, I'm not excited for any of his starts.
Well, if he did win a game against, you know, whichever team wins the wild card, he does pitch well against the Houston Astros, so maybe with a confidence boost, maybe he does. I mean, I can make the case, but, you know, but that's all I can do. That's all I can do, though.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to go, again, like the 162 versus the playoffs is so different, and I'm not. And you guys may differ from me on this, and maybe most people differ from me on this, but I'm not going to sit here and roll out home road splits, regular season statistics, when the playoffs are such a different monster. Every pitch matters. Like, it's 0-0 and you throw one bad pitch and you lose the game 1-0, your season's over. So it's just such a different situation. And he, time and time again, and I'm not just saying he fails in the playoffs, he fails in the big moments, generally speaking. The big start at Yankee Stadium with the Fortnite injury. against the Yankees at Fenway. You know, the starts at Yankee Stadium, the big games where, you know, we loved Pedro because he was a stopper. Curt Schilling was a stopper. And it's like you're on a 3-game losing streak and you see, oh, God, Curt's throwing on Friday. Even if we lose today, we're going to end this thing and we're going to get back on track on Friday. You see Pierce and it's like a price, I'm sorry, and you've lost 3 or 4 in a row, even if it is the regular season, and you look at him and you go, oh, Jesus Christ, this losing streak's not going to end. And I know this year is not a great example because we didn't have too many losing streaks, but it's not just the playoffs. It's big games. It's big moments. He routinely fails. I root for him. I frankly like his personality. I like that the teammates like him. I like that he, for whatever reason, is trusted by the clubhouse. And I do root for him to succeed, and I want him to be a Red Sox, and he's going to be a Red Sox because there's no way he's stupid enough to opt out. But it just, to me, it's silly to trust a guy who routinely fails. You know, whatever the big situation it is, he fails.
I hate everything about him, and regardless of what it is, how he does, how well he does, how poor he does, I hope he opts out. And I know that's a long shot right now, but
you'd have to be the biggest idiot in the world.
Well, he's already said he's not going to opt out, by the way. That happened in the middle of the season.
Yeah, but what do you want him to say? I hate this team. I'm going to leave. Like,
No. Look, he's not getting the same contract. He's not even going to get, like, what does he have left?
127.
Yeah, let's say another team was going to give him the exact same deal. He's not going away. I mean, he's not. And I know you're going to say, well, Bill, you already said it. You know, what else is he going to say? Price is not the type of guy to come out and say things like that and then back off it. He's not, because if he gets eviscerated, he sucks his thumb in turtles. So when he came out and said that to me, he takes this stuff so personally, and, like, you know he's following his mentions on Twitter and stuff. You know that he did that thinking, there's one, I'm not leaving here. Like, if I'm going to do it, it's going to be here. And then two, he knows he's not going to get the same money or anywhere near it anywhere else.
Well, look at it this way. And I'm not saying he's going to opt out, you know, and I think it's more likely than not that he will not opt out. But he's already made probably $200 million in his career, and he's not going to get an Alex Cobb-type contract. You know, he's still – they would look at his regular season numbers, and teams are still going to find value in him. And I just feel like if he just wants to get the hell out of here, then he will. And he's going to get at least – he'll probably get at least $100 million, at which point he would only be leaving probably $27 million on the table. And the other thing that nobody talks about here, too, is if his agent, whether he's right or wrong, so much as tells David Price, I think I could get you a really good contract, Price is probably going to listen to his agent, you know, over anyone. So, you know, so it's not the longest shot ever that he opts out, but I don't know. I just think it's a little more possible than some people might realize.
No, it's definitely a possibility. I just think $27 million, like you said, $27 million on the table, that's a lot of money. It's not $2 million. You know, that's still a lot of money, $27 million. I couldn't see how he'd walk away from that.
Terry, in a different iteration of this podcast, we have worked together before, and you and I disagree. So I know it doesn't bother you when I do disagree with you. I just couldn't disagree with you more here.
Well, that's fine.
He's coming back. He's an absolute lunatic if he leaves. There's no – because it's not it's you know, it's guaranteed 31 – what did you say it was, 167? Like, he's not –
127.
He's not walking away from guaranteed dollar bills like that. He's not. And with the hand tingliness and the fact that for a large portion of last year, there was the thought that he was going to have the Tommy John surgery, like, it's just, there's no way. There's no way. And I mean, it's a different conversation, but, and I know you're going to disagree with me on this, I don't want him to opt out. Like, we're going to pay him the money. Like, he was really good this year. He just couldn't beat the Yankees. And if he, and you know, who knows what happens in the next month, but we're a 108 win team because in large part to the fact that David Price was really consistent all year, but for the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to pitch to what he's getting paid, but he did pitch awesome this year. Like, there's no denying that.
Yeah, no, I want him to be a Red Sox next year. I'm part of me is, like, a little bit surprised when I'm saying that, but what are the other options? Like, you already mentioned, Terry, Sale could be gone next year. I think they will throw a bunch of money at him, by the way. And I think that's part of the reason why Kimbrel will not re-sign. But I do want him to be a Red Sox. Who's our number two starter next year? Erod? Like,
And they don't want a long rebuild like the Astros.
Well, those are two different animals, you know, because it's up to David Price what he does. Like, he doesn't really care about us if he is seriously mulling an opt-out. And I mean, who knows? I mean, if he gets shelled, you know, in game two in front of this crowd and is booed off the mound and just absolutely ridiculed, I mean, we haven't lived that yet. You know, that's at least a week away, but I don't know.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting. And the other thing, though, with David Price is he's already said it, and I also think this is just generally a misnomer that players stay for the fan base. They stay because they trust the organization, and they want, you know, whether, you know, in baseball it's the clubhouse or in football it's the locker room, but they stay because of those reasons, not necessarily the fan base. I mean, this is major American sports. Every city cares about their teams, but for like the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Yeah, and so, he loves his teammates too.
Yeah, no, and he said that. He said that strongly, and they've reciprocated the commentary. So it just, to me, again, it's a misnomer. I told you earlier I would be the athlete that would come out and say I am staying because this team is offering to pay me $10 million more than the next team. You know, it just, to me, it's like, it's such a cliche to say, oh, I'm staying because of the fans. No, you're not, dude. You're staying because you trust the organization. You trust that they're putting you as the athlete first, and you like your teammates in the clubhouse. Like, I'm sorry, but maybe Boston's different. Maybe I'm failing to give some credit where credit's due because of the passion of the baseball fan base here. But just generally speaking, I think that's a misnomer. And with David Price specifically, he's come out and said, I fucking hate this fan base. And we already know he watches. I mean, he's probably seen our tweets.
He doesn't see mine because he blocked me. And I didn't even tweet at him directly, which is hilarious.
Maybe he'll listen to this.
Well, I tweeted at him, Terry, and said block Cushman at MLB.
Probably. I think I got tagged into something and made a snide remark or something. But I never tweet at athletes. I might harass like Pete Abraham or something, but not the athletes. Here's one other thing on the David Price thing, though. Our window is closing, and we're not going to keep everybody. I mean, you just can't do it. You know, so, I mean, Porcello is up, Sale is up, Bogarts
Porcello
is up.
Porcello can walk.
Yeah, and I that would be fine with me, but those three are up.
Why?
Next year.
What? Who are the three again?
Porcello, Sale, and Bogarts. If you sign two of them, and for argument's sake, let's just say it is Sale and Bogarts, it's a lot harder to try to retain Mookie as well. And you got to also figure in Benintendi and them are going to start hitting arbitration. That's not going to be cheap.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're clearing money. Look, you're the Boston Red Sox, and I understand we're not going to have, you know, the John Lesters and Bogarts of the world coming up through the pipeline here. This team is still young. And they have, you know, JD for 5 years or four more years. They still have Devers is going to be a good Major League Baseball player for the next 12 years. And I think, you know, you don't build bullpens from within. You typically build them in 1 or 2 year deals. And, you know, there's a keen eye for it. And for whatever reason, Dombrowski doesn't have it. But, you know, you just signed Vasquez. Swihart's still going to be here. Leon stinks, so I don't care. But, Betts, Benintendi, JD, JBJ, these guys are still going to be here. Moreland's got one more year. They're going to sign Mookie or Bogarts. If Mookie's going to ask for $400 million, and I think the market's going to get set with Bryce Harper. And, you know, but if Mookie wants $400 million and the Mets are stupid enough to give it to him, then they're going to sign Bogarts. Or if he's going to take $200 million, he's going to sign here.
And well, Bogarts,
I just don't see that there's some like window, quote unquote, closing, because at the end of the day, you're still going to have the dollar bills to pay guys. Like, it may not be Kimbrel, but it's going to be somebody else. And maybe it's not going to be Porcello, who, frankly, that contract was always ridiculous. Of course, he winds up winning a Cy Young. So, but they're going to go out and sign the next guy, the next third starter. They're going to pay him $15 million a year because they can. And I disagree with the whole windows closing thing. I do. And I think Sale's going to be here. Well, they'll give him $30, $35 million a year for 3 years, and he will come back.
Here's the big problem. We have to get underneath the luxury tax after next year for the same reasons we had to it was last year. That's the reason why we wouldn't get a big upgrade, because we had to stay under to avoid losing the draft picks. Draft picks are everything. You know, you're losing the next Mookie Betts, possibly, if you give up those picks. So we do have to get underneath that. And yes, Hanley's going to be off. Pablo will be off after next year, but
Kimbrel.
Yeah, I mean, he's not quite making $20 million, but I mean, it's not a cheap contract by any means. But so it's not a given. And if Mookie Betts is going to cost $400 million, I don't want him. And I know that's extremely unpopular take with a lot of people, but only once in the history of the World Series did it ever get won with a player making north of $200 million, and that was in 2009, which is really ancient history ago if you think about it. The New York Yankees. So, just teams.
Well, that's why I said Terry. That's why I said that if Betts wants $400 million, then you sign Bogarts.
This is what I do. After this offseason, I go up to Mookie Betts and I say, "Here's 8 years, $240 million. That's $30 million a year for the next 8 years." And if he doesn't want it, I go to Benintendi with that same exact offer, and I lock him up for 8 more years. Because let's see, after I think he's got 3 more years beyond this, so you'd be tacking on another at least 4 or 5 years to keep him with the Red Sox. But nobody wanted Bryce Harper at the trade deadline. They made him available in the last 24 hours. And nobody wanted him. So that tells me that, I mean, these guys probably aren't going to be getting $400 million because teams value players differently, you know, than they did 10 years ago. And I don't know. And the other thing you have to keep in mind here is Bogarts comes up first a year earlier than Mookie. So there. And what's his value? I think he's going to get similar to what Hosmer got this offseason. You know, yeah, 140.
I don't have a problem with that. I think Mookie's better than Bryce Harper. But he's so dynamic that he's going to get whatever the top of the market's going to be. You know, what's the phrase? It only takes one team. There's going to be a team out there that's going to go to some far reaches of the financial situation that the other teams won't go to. And the problem with Mookie is that he's that electric of a player. He's a two-way player. He's a five-tool guy.
He's a generational talent.
He's about to win an MVP. He's still so freaking young. He's a point guard NBA level athlete playing right field. And you just don't see it. So whatever the farthest, dumbest team is willing to go, they're going to do it for Mookie Betts. And that's why, I like your comment is go this year and say, look, Mookie, we can't let Bogarts go if you're not going to be here. So, you know, here's, I'm a, you know, 8 million, you know, 8 years, $240 million. And if he tells you to go pound sand, then you go put your sights on Bogarts and you don't worry about spending on Bogarts. You get your one more year out of Adam Mookie, and then, you know, he goes. And, you know, the team's still going to be in a position to win World Series unless something drastic happens, so...
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to be at the forefront of it, though. I mean, the Dodgers are going to be really scary next year once they get
Well, how are the Dodgers going to keep spending over the salary cap? Because you mentioned the escalating penalties indirectly about 5 minutes ago. The Dodgers are in the thick of that now. I mean, how are they going to avoid those escalating penalties? And then they're going to pay 50% tax on every dollar, and then they're going to pay, you know, the draft picks, and I mean, it's just crazy. At some point they have to stop, and they're going to have to peel back and have a normal you know, high end but still within the tax threshold roster.
I thought they were below it now, but hang on,
I'm pretty sure they're below it right now.
Well, no, they're only a couple of million over it. They're at 199, and I think it's 197, but a lot of their guys are still younger and cheap. And I mean, you got like Walker Buehler. I mean, he's going to be pitching tomorrow's game 163, just having a, you know, a nice year. And I forget the other guy, Ross Stripling, I think. They've got, and then Kemp's
going to be young talent,
and Kemp's going to be coming off the books as well. And I think Rich Hill might be coming off the books. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to be competitive for a while. So are the Astros. The Indians got a similar situation that we're in. But I don't know. I don't know. And, you know,
One of the big things, too, is and we're going to stop paying for athletes that don't play for us here pretty soon.
Yeah,
and no. I don't have the exact expiration of the contracts, but Pablo Sandoval's got to be coming off the books here pretty soon. We're paying for superstars that, one, were never superstars, and two, don't play for our team.
Yeah, after next year, that his comes off and Hanley's comes off this year, and if we don't pay for Kimbrel, then yeah, we got two guys in the minors right now, Travis Lakins and Durbin Feltman, that could very well emerge as late inning guys. So,
yeah, and Jay Groom's injured, and he's gonna be a top 10 starter in baseball one day.
Yeah, but he had it early this year, so he probably won't be on a mound until probably next July or August, at which point you got to figure the following year he's still in the minors. So what's that, 2020? So we probably won't see him until 2021. But you know, maybe he's our next ace, but it's still a little ways away. I'm not as comfortable, I guess, as you are, Jeremy, with the immediate future. But a lot of things still, you know, a lot of dominoes still have to fall before we really start worrying about that. Let's just go over real quick, and then we'll wrap. Tomorrow, these two matchups are phenomenal. I'm not even going to get to see any of them, but at 1 Eastern, the Rockies and the Dodgers will play game 163. Loser goes to the wild card. Germán Márquez has a 2.57 ERA this year against the Dodgers, and then Walker Buehler has a 2.61 ERA against the Rockies. So nice matchup there. And are you guys rooting for the Rockies? I know I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Dodgers.
Really?
I've been a Clayton Kershaw fan for a long time, so I always root for the Dodgers out of the National League.
Yeah, oh, fair enough. I love the Rockies, and you know, it's a nice underdog story. They'd end up playing, I think, the Brewers or the Cubs, in the NLCS if it happens. But I don't know, just an interesting matchup there. It's such an exciting day. I'm so sad that I have to miss it. And then let's see. Do you got some, Jeremy?
No, I mean, I just, one is I don't have any second favorite teams, and there's a ton of guys I like to see, but every decision I make and who I root for is, you know, what is ultimately in the best interest of the Boston Red Sox. And having the Dodgers potentially have to go through the wild card and ultimately lose, I just think that's better for the Red Sox, assuming we can get to the World Series. So, and then, like you said, just the underdog situation. I like some of the Rockies' talent. I think it's young and fun, and I like to see some playoff games in that ballpark.
Yeah,
the same reason why I'm rooting for the Brewers against the Cubs.
I'd love to see the Brewers win.
Yeah.
I like that roster is really talented and kind of underappreciated in my mind. And I don't know. The Cubs, they've been here for years now. I mean, it's hard to believe 4 or 5 years ago they were losing 111 games. But I don't need to see them in a World Series. I have no interest in that. So again, what's in the best interest of the Boston Red Sox? And maybe I'm wrong on this, but I would prefer to play the Brewers.
I was just in both of these parks a little over a week ago. I was in Miller Park to watch them play the Reds, and then Wrigley when the Cubs were facing the Pirates. So it's kind of fun. And the neat thing is those cities are only maybe an hour and a half apart, so I'm assuming they travel by bus. So even though it's an away game for the Brewers, I mean, it's just a quick jaunt back up there, you know, to start the NLDS if it shakes out that way. Jose Quintana gets the start, and he's been knocked around in the last few games, but he does have a 2.17 ERA and 6 starts against Milwaukee this year, so they're clearly playing matchups there, and Milwaukee's is TBA, so that might be more of a bullpen game, but they got the best bullpen in the league, so
I mean, it's not do or die, but both teams, I was reading some quotes from the rosters for all four teams, and they all get it. I mean, it's the important, this game is huge for all four clubs. You don't want to play the playing game. You want to get in and have that, the ability to play the five in the NLDS. So it's just another product of the playoff format change just paying dividends, because you get, you know, awesome games tomorrow that I will be watching and following, even though I'll be working. It's a great time of year. It just shows that I think that baseball can compete with the four other major American sports leagues because of, you know, October is now become this do or die. And it's to have 162 come down to basically a play-in game, two play-in games followed by two one or done games. It's just awesome. It's an awesome week.
Absolutely. I guess we'll wrap on that. If I could have you guys sit tight, cause I do need to go over one more thing, but, we'll get to that in a second, but let me just wrap, and the song's going to go as well. So just 1 second. But for everyone on Periscope that stayed up, thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back Thursday with Tyler and Liz. And then Jeremy and Billy will probably be in and out throughout the playoff game. So have a good night.
Family, wherever I roam, up and way home, that's where I long to be. I'm a member of a Red Sox nation. It's a kind of insanity. Yeah, I live and die with Red Sox pride for eternity.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.